Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome back to the Relegators Podcast. My name is Phil, and this is a podcast where each week me and my best bud Carl go through the relegation promotion in the Premier League and EFL Championship in English soccer. Carl, how was your week, buddy?
Pretty good week. I got to tell you, this is the night we record this is quickly becoming my favorite night. It's still my second favorite night of the week. You want to know what my favorite day of the week is?
What's that?
Nudie Magazine Day.
What's today? October?
It's Nudie Magazine Day!
You remember that?
Billy Madison?
Yeah, do you remember the titles of the magazines?
I don't remember the titles, but I just remember how excited they get.
Yeah, I'll give it. So here's the three magazines, and I'll do them in ascending order of which one's my least favorite to my favorite.
Okay.
So we've got She-Male Fiesta, which I don't even think is allowed in this day and age. I think they'd have changed that name.
Because of Fiesta, super racist.
All I remember too, the second one. Oh, there was Women Over 80, which is mm-mm-mm. And then my absolute favorite one was the last one. It was just called Drunk Chicks.
Also a little problematic.
Yeah, maybe.
Carl, we had a super exciting week of action in both the Premier League and the EFL Championship. We had our double fixtures in the EFL Championship with games on Tuesday, Wednesday, as well as over the weekend.
Seeing double, double. Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of action. It took me a good long while to prepare all my notes for these matches, but you know, it was a mix, as it usually is, of good and mediocre.
Yeah, we had a couple duds for sure. So let's get started. While we're talking about that, we go to Ashton Gate, where Bristol City hosted Sheffield United. This one, 2-1 in favor of Sheffield United, very quickly moving their way into our promotion zone in the EFL Championship. The scoring started in the 75th minute with Anis Mamedi's penalty. He knocked that one in. And then Ryan O'Neill in the 86th minute for Sheffield United just got subbed in about 15 minutes before, comes in and gets the goal. I always love when a guy gets subbed in and gets a goal. It just makes the manager look like a genius. And then to round it out in the 90th plus 8, Sheffield United pull out the victory with Harrison Burrow's goal. He had the defender all over him. I don't know if you saw it. He's pulling his arm down, and while he's falling down, still manages to get his foot on the ball and knock it in.
Yeah, it was a great finish, and then he finished it by, you know, I love this thing that they do where they run up to the stands and celebrate with their with their fans.
Right, right. I always love the security guards who are trying to be like, tell them no and keep the fans away. But you know that's not happening. They're getting bombed on both sides.
No, I can't separate that passion. There's a penalty. The penalty for Bristol, that was well-deserved. Going back to what you're saying about a guy who gets subbed on and then scores, that's actually the plot of the movie Rudy to a T. So if you haven't seen Rudy, everybody, don't worry. Just skip it. It's not that great.
It's a terrible movie. Also, Joe Montana was on that team. He hates that movie. He hates Rudy. He says no one even knew who that guy was.
It's a movie, remember. Not all that's true.
Well, what wasn't true?
Well, the crowd wasn't chanting. Nobody threw in their jerseys. You know, he did get in the game.
He pisses me off. But yeah, a couple things I noticed about this match. Another thing I love that I'm really beginning to love is the crowd cheer when an opponent's shot is just terrible and it just like is a sky ball that flies away, but then the opposing fans will cheer like, "Hey, good job, idiot." I'm loving that. And then secondly, did you notice that they had rugby lines on the pitch?
I did notice that. I just thought it was kind of a unique home experience, but I did notice they had the what, like 10-yard lines or whatever they are going
Yeah,
down.
I'll be honest. I had to Google what they were. I didn't know what that was from, but I will say it was kind of different, but not as bad as them playing football on a baseball diamond.
Yeah, have you seen that before? I've never seen it. Or are you just saying like NFL football, not
Yeah, like
baseball
back
diamond?
in the day with the Raiders in the
Yeah,
90s.
Raiders, Miami Dolphins used to have it, the San Diego Chargers and Padres. Yeah, I
Yeah,
agree.
those dark days in those stadiums. But
Dark,
yeah,
dark
yep.
days. Well, we got a bunch of action, so let's move on real quick. We go to the
Let's go.
Den. Millwall taking on Leeds United. Yefet Tanganga in the 40th minute gets the goal. Millwall only have 24% possession in this game, but that is their fourth straight 1-0 win. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, on a heater, like all clean sheets. I will say that reading the comments from both or from the managers after the match, they both agreed that Leeds played better and they just didn't convert on some chances.
They had
But it
some really
doesn't.
good chances, but they just got stonewalled or airmailed it. Yeah, they had 76% possession, 14 shots, four only on target, but still, it was a one-sided ball game, but Millwall get the goal in the end.
Yeah, this is why I'm making my official prediction. This is like my set in stone that Leeds is going to win the entire league because they just look really, really dangerous with the ball. Like whenever I watch them, they're moving around good, they're moving the ball around good, and they're getting in dangerous spots. So that's my pick for the whole thing, just to let you know.
Yeah, no worries. We'll get into that probably around halfway through the season. We'll check in on our before the season predictions and see what we think is going to happen from then on. But the Millwall Bricks take this one down. Next game, we go to Deepdale, where Preston North End hosted Sunderland to a 0-0 draw. I
Yeah.
think I've said enough.
Yeah. Only thing I'll say about this is I'm officially adopting Deepdale as my porn name. That just
Dale
sounds so.
Diggler.
Yeah. Starring Deepdale. This sounds too good.
Next game, another nil-nil draw. Carl, this was a DraftKings match of the week. West Brom hosting Burnley. In the 59th minute, Jadon Anthony did get a goal, but it was disallowed by the referee for a push on Callum Stiles. This makes six straight draws for West Brom, and their fans are pissed. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, I mean, you remember what their new name is now?
You called them the West Draw. West, what'd you call them? I'm sorry.
West Bromwich Albion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that foul call that took away the goal was kind of weak. I mean, I'm not the
It
biggest
was a push in the
expert.
back. Yeah, it was a push in the back. Again, they don't have VAR in the EFL Championship.
Oh, I forgot. I always forget about that.
Yeah, so it's not reviewable. It was the referee's decision. He made the call right away. I thought it was kind of weak as well, but there was a push. He did get the separation, and he just knocked it in the back of the net. But you can make an argument that the defender wasn't given a chance on that one.
Yeah, well, yet another draw for the baggies.
Carl, do you remember what you put on this game?
I went straight for the draw, I'm pretty sure.
You sure did. You
Yeah.
knew West Brom was coming with that draw magic. $50 at +215. Excellent choice by you. I put $100 down on Burnley straight up, so I ate that one. Congratulations.
Yeah, man, I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, it's right in their name. It's right in their name. But you'll see what happens with the rest of these ones we bet on this week.
Yep. It was a good week for both of us. We move to the weekend fixtures. We go to Elland Road, where Leeds United took on the Park Rangers.
I get it.
Jayden Bogle in the 19th minute kicked a pinballing ball in the box in. Just kind of kicked around for a while, found Bogle, and he knocked it in. Our boy Joel Perreault in the 90th plus five also got a goal. I call him the Dutch super sub with his sixth goal of the season. He got subbed in at the 72nd minute. It just seems like every time he comes on the pitch, he's going to put one down.
Yeah, good things happen when he comes on. Yeah, the super sub, that's nice. Leeds definitely need to take care of business in this one. QPR, I guess. I didn't know this before, but they're having just horrific injury luck. They
They're
have like
also in the very last place. They are in 24th of 24 in the EFL Championship.
Yeah, not looking good unless some of their guys get healthy. Even then, who knows if they have a chance. But I guess back in the 80s, QPR Stadium was the first to have AstroTurf
Which
for
they
the
don't allow. The players
yeah
would revolt if they had AstroTurf nowadays, except in the United States, of course.
yeah but I thought it was funny. I guess in England, do you know what they call AstroTurf? They have a slightly different name for it.
Well, because they don't have the Houston Astros.
Oh, that makes sense. But they just simply call it a plastic pitch, I think.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. And just a little history lesson. The Houston Astros, when they opened the Astrodome, were the first team to have AstroTurf. That's where the name was brought in from. Moving on to your favorite
Phenomenal
scene.
knowledge.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Phenomenal knowledge.
Thank you. Thank you. I always have that one in the back of my mind just to impress the ladies.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah, we move on to your favorite stadium of light. Sunderland hosts Coventry. Carl, you said this last week. Coventry was playing well. Sunderland also played well, but it ended in a 2-2 draw. Wilson Isidore in the 17th minute with a beautiful volley across the goal. Dennis Kirkland, might be Sirkin, excuse me, Dennis
Circuit.
Sirkin in the
Yeah.
35th minute with an absolute rocket from outside the box. That thing was another piss missile that we talked about last week. So Sunderland take the 2-0 lead, but Coventry come right back, starting with the American, Haji Wright, with his seventh goal of the season. And then they finish it off with Jack Rudoni in the 84th minute, get themselves a nice 2-2 draw, and they both leave the Stadium of Light with a point.
Yeah, both of those Sunderland goals were pretty awesome. This Isidore guy, he's had a few nice ones so
Yes,
far
he
this
has. He's
season.
looked phenomenal.
So you might be one to keep an eye on. Yeah, that second goal was just poof, hit super hard. And I think that's one thing that I didn't realize when I was following soccer less, is just how hard some of these guys can hit the ball.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you don't realize it on TV until it flies past the goal and goes directly into some seats, and then you just see those things boom, and I'm like, oof, that someone could get really hurt at one of these
Oh,
matches.
yeah. Oh, 100%. They don't have netting behind the goal to stop those balls. Those go straight into the crowd when they miss the target. It kind of reminds me of when my dad and I used to watch NASCAR or any kind of like car racing when I was a kid. You watch it and you see the cars go in a circle, and but then they have the one angle on the straightaway where it's just the cars going boom, 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 and that's when you kind of realize how fast these things really are going. You don't really see it in the overtop view that you typically get watching these games, but when they have the behind the goal view and you just see that ball get larger and larger and larger and like in a split second and it just knocks the back of the goal, you're like, holy smokes, like I would have no shot at like being a keeper and trying to defend that.
Yeah, I think maybe a couple weeks ago I said there was a save that, or a non-save that should have been a save because the keeper got both hands on it.
Yep,
But
I remember it.
with how hard these guys are, and the more I realize how hard these guys are hitting the ball, like, that's going to happen sometimes. It's just physics.
It does, but talking about the goal from I think it was last week or the week before, but that keeper should have done his wrist exercises. He should have stopped that. He gets paid for this.
Yeah, I think, going back going back on what I just said, I think you convinced me any professional should be able to stop these shots. If you would ask any of them, they said, yeah, should I have saved that? They'll say yes every time.
I agree. Moving on, we go to Bramall Lane, the Sheffield Derby. Sheffield United hosted Sheffield Wednesday. Tyrese Campbell, another goal in the 50th minute. Nice couple sets of passes. It's a little 1-2-3 action. Tyrese Campbell was just waiting inside the 6-yard box and tapped it in.
Yep, the former Stoke player just keeps making me sad every time he scores another goal, because he never did this at Stoke. It's not all his fault. Like, the manager did weird stuff with the lineup and wouldn't always put him in, but now he's like thriving at Sheffield. And yeah, I don't have too much to say on this one, but Sheffield Derby. I guess it hadn't happened in a few years because they were in different leagues,
Right.
so. Pretty nice to renew the rivalry there.
Right. Yep. And if I didn't say it before, that game ended 1-0 for United over Sheffield Wednesday. We moved to NKM Stadium. Hull City takes on West Brom. I think we both thought this was going to be a draw with the way West Brom was going. Hull City also known for drawing this season. But no, West Brom actually get the win, Carl. 2-1. We start in the 12th minute. Carlin Grant gets a goal that was deflected in. The center back Alfie Jones just kind of tipped it right over the keeper who was in line to get the save. And then our boy Josh Maja in the 17th minute with a nice header for his ninth goal of the season, which is second in the EFL Championship. Way to go, Maja. We're still behind you. 40th minute goal from João Pedro to make it 2-1, but it wasn't enough. West Brom take the victory.
Yep, our boy Maja back on the boards. Great to see. I think the leader is some guy on Norwich City.
Norwich, yep.
Yeah, Signs or something like that. Borges Signs, I think his name is, but. Here's to hoping Josh Maja can catch up to that bum.
Yeah, Borja Sainz, I want to say. Sainz. Sainz would be my
Yeah,
guess. Uh,
that
two
sounds
goals. He's
right.
got 11. 2 goals ahead of Maja.
All right, he's coming for you, Sainz. You don't stand a chance in
Long
this
season. Long
long
season.
season. He's coming for you. But so one thing that I found out is Hull actually got booed off the field by their own fans at the end of their last match. So they really want to avoid that happening again, as I think you always do. And yeah, Hull actually played a pretty, I think they looked better than they have been. They were threatening here and there, just couldn't put it away. West Bromwich needed to finally end the streak, unfortunately.
Yep, they finally did. 6 in a row done. They finally got 3 points. Congratulations. Final game for the EFL Championship this week. We go to Turf Moor. Burnley hosted Swansea. Swansea also not doing great this season. Burnley takes this one down 1-0. We had 60. This was impressive for me, Carl. 64th minute. Maxime Esteve saves a goal for Burnley, just cleared it right off the line. It got behind the keeper, was bouncing over, and Esteve just took care of it and cleared it out. And then in extra time, Jay Rodriguez in the 90th plus 4 minute got a penalty. A handball from Matt Grimes in the box gives Rodriguez a penalty shot. He took it home. Burnley dominated this game, even though the score doesn't really reflect it.
Yeah, that goal saved off the goal line was a really nice one. Like, it was split second, like bang bang, and qu super quick reaction time. So that's always fun to see. And then yeah, I just don't like it when someone gets awarded a penalty in extra time. Just feels cheap, and they win 1-0. It just feels
I mean,
cheap
it was
to
a
me.
handball on the box. I
I
get what you're
mean.
saying. It wasn't a cheapie. The guy hit his hand. It was like over his head. So like, if
All
you
right. I mean, I guess you
put
gotta
your
call
arms
it.
down, put your arm. His arm was above his head, and the ball hit his arm. If your arm is away from your body and the ball hits it in the box, I think the rules are pretty clear on that.
Yeah, you have to call it, but I just feel like Burnley got bailed out by something that they didn't even
Oh, they
do.
definitely did. I'm not disagreeing with you, but you kind of make your own luck sometimes. And as long as the ball isn't pinballing around in the penalty area, that never happens. So the fact that Burnley, who had 20 shots, 7 on target for the game, They kept putting the pressure on and they made something happen.
I don't care. I'm mad at Burnley now for their cheap victory.
All right, well, let's go over the standings in the EFL Championship. In first place, Sunderland with 31 points. In second place, Sheffield United, who have four straight wins. I mean, they're coming up strong. They also have 31 points. They are just down two in goal differential to Sunderland. Third place is Leeds United. Fourth, Burnley. Fifth is West Brom. They are also tied with Watford, who I think we're going to bring in starting next week, Carl. We're going to start watching some Watford games. Watford is behind West Brom six in goal differential. But I thought about it, Carl. I didn't really want to bring Watford in, but the math says we're going to have to bring in even more teams in the EFL Championship come the end of the season because, like we said at the beginning of the season, the first two teams in the standings will get automatic promotion to the Premier League. The next four teams after them will play in a four-team tournament to decide the last team to get promoted to the Premier League. So that's six teams right there. And then we're going to have to cover probably seventh and eighth place, maybe even ninth place, depending on how close that race is come to the end of the season. So come the end of the season, we might be taking on a lot of teams.
Yeah, I mean, we want to cover anyone that's in the hunt, directly in the hunt. I really hope that Millwall keeps winning and we get to cover them because then I can start telling history tales about their incredibly violent asshole
Yeah, the
fans,
Millwall Bricks.
the Millwall Bricks. And then, if Middlesbrough, if we, of course, if we start following them, they'll immediately fuck it up and go lose three in a row and be gone again. So that might
I'm with you.
happen.
I do want to watch Millwall as well. They've been playing well. I want them to make it in so we can watch them. And like I said, we're probably going to have to expand the amount of teams that we're covering later in the season. But for right now, I think six is a good number to cover in the EFL Championship. We might cut down the amount of teams we're watching in the Premier League, depending on how bad or how good some of these teams are at the bottom.
Yeah, I think we should either cover six teams, maybe expand it up to 24.
Good call. I like it.
Let's just quit our jobs and just do nothing
Yeah,
but watch soccer and soccer highlights.
I'm gonna quit my job to do an unsponsored podcast making me no money right now, but it's my dream.
Hey, you can still tell people at parties that you're a podcaster.
That it's working great for me in the dating apps.
I bet their girls love that shit.
Let's take a look at next week's. Oh, excuse me. It's not going to be next week's fixture. Carl, we have an international break. I am going to see you in 2 weeks after this one. So, Friday, the 22nd of November, we go to Home Park, Plymouth Argyle, with Carl's favorite Wayne Rooney managing. We'll host Watford, our newly appointed sixth team to cover in the championship. Saturday, we'll have Coventry hosting Sheffield United at Coventry Building Society Arena. Really terrible
What
name
a mouthful.
for a stadium, especially in England, where some of them have very traditional names. Some of them also have sold out and definitely, MKM, like just getting the money for the stadium, m much the American fashion.
Guaranteed rate field. That's my favorite. Yeah, it's there's some ridiculous ones here in America, but it's nice to see England catch up for sure.
Next game, we go to Ashton Gate, where Bristol City hosts Burnley, followed by West Brom hosting Norwich City in the Hawthorns. The Millwall Bricks are going to host Sunderland in the Den. Hopefully, Millwall, Sunderland's on top of the table, but we both want to see Millwall get some points. And let's start talking about the Bricks more. And then we go to a classic stadium, Swansea.com Stadium, where Swansea hosts Leeds United. And that'll end our week Sunday, the 24th.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a little weird that they named their stadium after a porno website. It's Trust me, don't let your kids go to Swansea.com. Those Swansea gals did not look great either. Yeah, some good fixtures. I'm really excited for Millwall Sunderland. I'd be excited to watch that one start to end. If I can find a way to watch it over here, I don't even
Yeah,
know.
possibly. I've been trying to look at it. Possibly Paramount Plus. I'm not sure yet. I've been meaning to research that because a lot of the highlights I get are on Paramount Plus. So
Okay.
I don't know if they cover the EFL Championship, but if they do, might be worth the investment, especially the later in the season we get.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
All right, Carl, it's time to move on to the Premier League. All right, Carl, we're going to start Saturday at Selhurst Park, where Crystal Palace hosted Fulham. We both went head to head on this one. You thought your boys, Crystal Palace, were going to take this one down. Carl, your boys let you down again.
Yeah, I'm officially off the bandwagon, but I will say one thing. I wasn't sure why they were called Crystal Palace. I just thought that was a cool name. I think that's part of why I wanted them to keep winning. But so I looked it up, and so they're named after a building that was in Hyde Park, London. It was built in 1851 that was mostly made out of glass. In fact, it was so made out of glass that it didn't need interior lights during the day. So I thought that was cool, but I would love to go visit it someday, but the sad thing is it was destroyed by a fire in 1936, which sucks. But I am glad that the soccer team is honoring that by also going down in flames.
You're right, Carl. They went down in flames. 2-0 victory for Fulham. Some pretty good action in this game. In the 44th minute, Joachim Andersen for Fulham, the center back, saves a goal off the line. It bounces past the keeper, and he's there on the line to clear it out. Nice clearance, nice save for him. In the 45th plus 2 minute, Emile Smith Rowe gets a breakaway goal to put him up 1-0. He'd get another goal in the 52nd minute, but it was removed from VAR. They ruled him offside. In the 76th minute, Daichi Kamada, the Japanese stud muffin, gets a red card for a high tackle on Kenny Tete. Excuse me. And then in the 83rd minute, subbed in just a minute earlier, Harry Wilson gets a goal to put him up 2-0, and that's how it would end.
Yeah, I think Fulham are firmly a second tier Premier League team, and Crystal Palace are just a mess right now. I kept having enthusiasm because in previous seasons they've always had this little kind of fight to them, even though they're always usually an underdog. And I thought maybe that would continue after a rough start. I mean, it still could, still fairly early, but it's not looking promising from here.
No, you lost out one. You lost $100, draw no bet. I took down the $100, draw no bet for the victory at -110. So quick $90 in my pocket.
Ugh, yeah, head to head, not good for me.
We're gonna move to London Stadium where East Ham United took on Everton FC. This one was back and forth, some chances for both. Nothing ends up of it. A nil-nil draw. The only note I have in the 93rd minute, a save by Jordan. I guess it's not the 93rd minute. I guess it's the 90th plus 3 minute. A save by Jordan Pickford on Danny Ings' deflected shot. Amazing save, but that was the highlight of the game.
Yeah, Pickford's had a few kind of amazing saves so far this season. I thought he was kind of on the down slope just because I don't know if he fell out of favor with the national team or if he's still doing it, but I remember he was like a long time ago the hot new thing and he was going to be England's savior keeper. And then I kind of stopped hearing about him. He's not playing at a huge, huge club. But yeah, every time I've seen them, he's made some good saves. West Ham, on the other hand, yeah, they're really struggling still. And it's not going to get better, I don't think, anytime soon, because their best player, possibly their best player, Mohamed Kudus, was still suspended for the next four matches after, I don't know if you saw this, but he went psycho at the end of last week's match with Everton, or two matches ago. Did you see that?
Possibly. It doesn't really ring a bell.
With Tottenham, I mean.
Yeah,
he kicked two guys, or kicked one guy and slapped two guys.
Yeah, I did hear about it. I didn't see it. I'm sure, you know, I don't think I did see it on the highlights. They might have kept that out of the highlights, but I did hear about it. And yeah, everyone's pretty upset about that.
Yeah, that was ugly. And, you know, you know, when you lose it, your best player for, I think it's 6-game suspension for something like that. The team could fall apart, or maybe they rally together. We'll see.
We'll see. Moving on to Molineux Stadium, where the Wolves hosted Southampton. This was another DraftKings match of the week. Carl, what'd you put on it?
I think I got Wolves in this one.
You did. You put $100 on draw no bet at -215 odds. Terrible odds. I don't know why you did that. I also took Wolves. I did it straight up, though, at -105. So we both won, but I took home a little more cash than you on that.
Yeah, congratulations, Phil, for being just slightly smarter than me.
Yeah, that's
a huge
why
accomplishment.
I've got the big bucks.
Yeah.
So, Pablo Sarabia in the second minute gets a goal for the Wolves. In the 13th minute, Southampton thought they tied it up with a goal. But VAR disallowed it because of a foul by Mateus Fernandez in the box. They took that one away. Mateus Cunha in the 51st minute with a boomer from way outside the box puts it home. An absolute piss missile. Southampton dominating possession 71%, but they didn't even get a shot on target. So Wolves take that down 2-0. Final game, we go to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where they hosted Ipswich Town without a win. It's not exactly Taylor Swift, but Ipswich Town's favorite hero, their celebrity hero, Ed Sheeran, was in attendance for this one. Sam Smotic in the 31st minute gets an overhead kick. I put overhead kick. It's a semi-bicycle kick. It was a very impressive goal, but not quite the same as a true bicycle. He just kind of went backwards, kicked it over his head as he landed on his back. Like I said, very impressive. Not quite a true bicycle, but impressive nonetheless. And then in the 43rd minute, Liam Delap knocks home a rebound. To put him up 2-0. And then, let's see, what do I got here? In the 49th minute, Dominic Solantic, off his own hand, he kicked it. He got the goal in the 49th minute for Tottenham, but he literally just kicked it up off his own arm into the goal, disallowed immediately. And then their last effort for Tottenham was Rodrigo Bentancur in the 69th minute. Nice header off a corner, but too little too late. They dominated possession, dominated the match. They could not get the ball in. And Ipswich Town gets their first win of the season.
Oh, Spurs. Like, a couple years ago, I decided to choose a Premier League team to root for because I didn't feel like Stoke was going to be there again anytime soon. And I was talking to my coworker, and I said, I'm thinking I'm going to pick Tottenham. And he's like, oh, no, no, don't do it. Don't do that. And I thought maybe it was just because he was a Liverpool fan or something like that. But now I get why he tried to warn me about
you
this.
You called it last week. You said they were a yo-yo team. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. And that is really how it's going. True to form, but just like you said.
It's never good when you lose to a winless team at home that are dressed like a bunch of Easter eggs. That was, I mean, did you see those
the
kits?
Pink uniforms, the bright pink uniforms.
Yeah, but I guess, man, it worked for them. Yeah, I just had the overhead kick was really cool. I was not expecting that. And it's always fun to see one of those executed well. And yeah, the second one was pretty much an own goal, but I guess Delap got a little piece of it at the very end, and so it counts as his goal.
Right. So the keeper saved it. It deflects off the defender. It was going to go in off the defender to be an own goal, but Delap just put his foot on it, made sure it went home. He gets credit for the goal. But like I said, Carl, you know, when your biggest fan, Ed Sheeran, is in attendance,
No.
like, you just come out,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, you can't write fairy tales any better than Ed Sheeran coming to Tottenham Stadium and that pasty motherfucker cheering on his Ipswich team. But you know, that's
To be fair, they're all pasty out there.
nah, that's you know, you ain't lying about that, bud.
Another exciting week of action in the Premier League. Moving to the standings, Everton FC in 16th place with 10 points. Ipswich Town got their first win of the season in 17th place with 8 points. Crystal Palace in 18th place with 7 points. Wolves also getting their first win of the season in 19th place with 6 points. And Southampton brings up the rear in the cellar, 20th place with just 4 points. Now, I do want to say one thing about this. We dropped Leicester City last week from our coverage. They are currently tied with Everton with at 10 points. They both have minus 7 goal differentials, so they're tied there. And they drew 1-1 in September 21st. I don't know how the league decides that Leicester is above Everton. We're not going to bring Leicester back in for now, but I just wanted to make that for the record. Leicester City in 15th place, also with 10 points, tied with Everton on that one.
Yeah, the only thing looking at it that I could see is that Leicester has 4 more goals for. Maybe that's it, but
Possibly. I bet you that is. I didn't go that in depth with it. I didn't Google why or anything like that. It's pretty early in the season. I didn't think it was too much to worry about, but I did want to bring up the fact that even though we're not following Leicester, they are tied, excuse me, with Everton for that 15th, 16th spot. Looking ahead, 2 weeks from now, the games we'll be following. We go to Villa Park. Aston Villa hosts Crystal Palace. We'll go next game, Goodison Park. Everton FC hosts Brentford and Liverpool. And next game after that, we go to Craven Cottage where Fulham take on the Wolves. And Sunday, we'll have Southampton hosting Liverpool at St. Mary's Stadium. And also on Sunday, Ipswich Town with their brand new win hosts Man United at Portman Road. Anything about those games, Carl?
Ooh, I mean, I'm liking this because I think Ipswich is played better than their record indicates. And Manchester United, who knows what they have. They just, you know, fired their manager.
They did win last week.
They did win last week. We'll see if they can keep it up. But that one's at Ipswich. You know, that crowd is going to, you know, the crowd is going to be buzzing for the Tractor Boys. Ed Sheeran's going to streak on the field. And it's just going to be an absolute mad scene. So that's the one I'm looking forward to the most. What about you?
You know, I'd probably have to say Southampton, Liverpool. You know, it's nice to watch some of these top tier teams. Liverpool is currently in first place. It'd be an absolute miracle if Southampton took a win from Liverpool. So that'll probably be the one I watch out of all of them. Everton, Brentford might be good. Everton has been okay form lately. It's been a little bit since their 2-win streak, but I think they can do something against mid-tier Brentford.
Yeah, no, that's a good shout. I think Everton Brentford is a sleeper that could wind up being the best match of the week. So, good call there.
And then we have no DraftKings matches of the week this week, so no money on the line in 2 weeks. Maybe we'll figure something out and put some money on it later on, and we can insert it into the recording. But just for records keeping sake. We go to the DraftKings scoreboard. Carl, we both had two wins and one loss. You made $54.01. I made $85. Grand total, Carl, $931.51. You're getting back to that $1,000 mark that we started at. And I'm living large at $1,660.
Oh my goodness. You're gonna have to start investing in some of this money at some point.
I told
you,
I told Carl off air, I went 6-1 this week in NFL. If anybody wants some tips, hit me up.
Yeah, you're on a heater right now. And as long as I break even, I'll be happy. If I get back to even, then I'll change my tune and be like, no, not good enough. But I'm excited for the next bets. I think by the end of the season, we're both going to be pretty solid soccer bettors.
Yeah. I think we're gonna have it down. They're gonna cut us off. They're gonna throw us out.
Either go in and take a free room and we'll buy you lunch, or get the fuck out. That's what they're gonna.
Once again, we have a week off for the international games. Carl, what are you going to do with your week off, buddy?
I was thinking about buying a soccer ball and going out and practicing kicking it around. I don't know where the closest soccer field is, so I'm just going to kick the ball through someone's pickleball game.
And make sure you yell, ball! Little help here.
Oh, well, what about you? What do you got planned?
I'm a big NFL guy, so I'll be watching the NFL games. Thursday, United States play Jamaica, so I'm going to try and watch that a little bit. And I don't know who our game after Jamaica is, but we should have two.
Yeah. Oh, also, I forgot. I'm excited because it's shaping up to be a really big Nudie Magazine Day next weekend. So.
Now, is it going to be the same Nudie magazines, or do you get a different subscription every week? Are you going to get women under 80 or women over 60? How is this one going to work?
It doesn't matter to me. I'm an appreciator of all of it. I don't care.
And while I have it, let's bring up the United States game. They're not telling me the next game, so of course I look it up for. Two games against Jamaica, Thursday and Monday. First game, Jamaica against Jamaica in the United States. Not telling me where, of course. And the second game on Monday in Jamaica. So those are for the CONCACAF Nations League qualifying.
Yeah, need to get to see if Pochettino can rebound from his first loss. I mean, they looked awful against Mexico. I mean, this was the first match they played in Mexico in a while, and I realize it's tough to do, but like there was like none of the team looked in sync. And I know he's just gonna be figuring it out.
I remember, we didn't really have our A team out there. I think we had like our B or C team out there. So
that's true, but even still, like something about it was just unsettling with how bad we looked, because usually we put more fire in it against Mexico, and the whole team just looked scared. They looked confused. They looked lost. So I'm hoping it's just a one-off, and I have trust in this guy to figure it out and have us ready by the World Cup. What about you?
I wasn't a big Pochettino fan when he was coach of Tottenham, but I do want the higher class we deserve a top quality manager as our national team manager. So I'm looking forward to that. As I'm looking at the notes, it says Josh Sargent's out 8 weeks, got groin surgery. That was as of 3 days ago. So Josh Sargent won't be out there. One of our plays for Norwich in the EFL Championship, which we're covering, but it looks like he's going to be out a while. Pulisic and Tim Weah will be on the squad for both games, it looks like. So looks like we're at least coming out with our guns.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Poor Josh Sargent, get better soon. Put some ice on that groin. And we'll see you in a couple months, buddy. But it's nice to hear that we got the other guys coming back and adding that firepower.
Yep, 100%. All right, Carl, it's been an excellent week. Thanks for joining me again, buddy. Enjoy your week off. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, buddy. Have a good fortnight.
You too, buddy. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.